Are corporations people? That's become a defining political question ever since the controversial Supreme Court decision in Citizens United back in 2010. You may remember this infamous exchange between then-presidential candidate Mitt Romney and a group of hecklers at the Iowa State Fair in August of 2011.
Corporations are people, my friend. We can raise taxes on... Of course they are. Everything corporations earn ultimately goes to people. So, where do you think it goes? Whose pockets? Whose pockets? People's pockets. Okay, human beings, my friend.
Boston College law professor Kent Greenfield has a new way of thinking about this issue. He acknowledges that corporations clearly aren't people. They have no hearts, no lungs. But he also argues they deserve some of the rights real people have. His new book is called Corporations Are People Too, and They Should Act Like It. And he joins us now. Kent, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks, Evan. It's good to be here.
So it's a really fun book to read because on the one hand, you know, you have this provocative take where you want to say, actually, yes, with Mitt Romney, corporations are people. Also, let's be careful about what kind of people they are. But I want to start actually by backing up because a lot depends on what a corporation is. Like, why do we even have these things called corporations? What are they? What are they for? Where do they come from?
Yeah. Well, let me start by saying I'm not a big Mitt Romney fan for many reasons. So corporations are really the way we organize our business in America. And as it turns out, they're the biggest engine of wealth creation that the world has ever seen. I mean, the problem is, and that I've been working for a couple of decades about, is that corporations are often use that power for just the benefit of the elite.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're a relatively recent historical phenomenon. They haven't always been corporations, right? People come together and then they ask, hey, could we set up this thing that isn't us?
Right.
This sort of separate entity.
Entity.
And that entity will be special in lots of ways. Like, it won't owe you infinite money. Like, if it goes into deep debt, it was not going to owe you forever.
It'll live forever.
Yeah, it can live forever, right? It does have all these sort of special rights. And it's been economically very powerful. But then it raises all these questions about it has special rights, but exactly what rights? And it seems...
Yeah, so traditionally, the corporation was, when they were chartered, they were created for narrow purposes. You know, this corporation will build a bridge, or this corporation will deliver the mail, or some such. But now, you know, about 100 years ago, they expanded to do whatever they wanted to do, any lawful purpose.
Yeah, and one reason I say they're historically recent is because a lot of this comes down to the Constitution. There weren't a lot of corporations at the time that the original document was written.
That's right. Right.
Okay.
That's
so right. In your book, you seem to be saying we're sort of missing the arc. People are debating the issue incorrectly. That it's too narrow to say, are they people, are they not people? Is that a fair way to characterize your thinking?
That's right. When we talk about whether corporations are people, we mean a bunch of different things. Like the one thing that we mean is, should they have legal personality, legal separateness? And we do want that. We want to be able to sue BP if they pollute the Gulf of Mexico.
Right. Not necessarily the CEO, not necessarily the shareholders,
right. The entity,
but this entity.
The entity itself. Now, the harder question is, When should they have constitutional rights under this document that we agree to that decides for us as a polity, you know, what are the limits of government going to be?
So there you acknowledge there are some really hard cases, but I want to start with the easy cases and kind of build up.
Right.
Because you say there are some easy cases too, like what constitutional rights do corporations definitely have in your estimation?
Yeah, I think there's some easy yeses and there's some easy noes. Easy yeses, there's a provision in the Constitution that makes it unconstitutional for the government to take property without compensation. It's called the Takings Clause. Now, the Takings Clause has got to absolutely apply to corporations. Otherwise, nobody would invest in them. Like, you can't have the Commonwealth of Massachusetts saying, okay, we're just going to seize the property of Fidelity or Boston College without compensation. And I think
it would be untenable to have a corporation that was just subject to the whims of...
It would undermine the very purpose that we have these corporations. Similarly, due process rights, the ability to get into court, the ability to require a cop to have a warrant before you get searched. I think those are easy yeses.
Those are the easy yeses. Corporations, how about the easy noes?
Easy noes. Corporations can't vote. It doesn't make any sense to give them the right to vote, right?
Yeah.
You know, they can't serve on a jury. They don't have a human body. So, of course, there are easy no's in that respect, too. And I think there's also an easy no that they don't have the right, and the Supreme Court has said this, to refuse to self-incriminate themselves, right?
See, this when you talk about it in the book. Like, people have this right where if they know something incriminating about themselves, they don't have to disclose
it. They can plead the fifth.
But corporations don't. And you say really shouldn't have this.
They
right.
shouldn't, because the market depends on us being able to know the, you know, the truth about corporations. That disclosure is something that we depend on as a market. And if they said, all right, we have a constitutional right not to disclose the fact that our cigarettes cause cancer, then you know that would make no sense.
So those are the easy ones.
Right.
The tricky ones, that's where all the fun
is, right?
Start with one, free speech.
Yeah.
Right? Should corporations have free speech rights that are identical to, commensurate with, different from people?
Different from.
Okay.
Right? So they should not have the same rights as human beings, because the reason we have constitutional rights of free speech include the ability of human beings to self-fulfill and to express themselves. They are not human beings. You know, they do not have that right. Having said that, part of the reason why we have free speech rights is to facilitate a marketplace of ideas. And sometimes the ideas that corporations want to persuade us about are things that have a role in this marketplace of ideas in democracy.
Now, the place where this played out most dramatically is in the Citizens United Supreme Court decision, which guaranteed corporations the right to contribute to politics, in part on free speech grounds, right? Do you think that was rightly decided, that case?
No, I don't. I think it was very simplistically decided. So I do think that there are reasons to distinguish human beings from corporations when it comes to campaign finance. And that the reason is that we want to be careful about the ability of corporations to aggregate money and aggregate profit and then use that money for their own benefit within the regulatory structure. So I think the real worry is that corporations are able to use their political rights to further and bolster their economic rights.
Drive.
And that's, you know, that creates a really vicious circle. So I do think that they have a role to play in politics, but I do also think that a legislature could legitimately and constitutionally restrict campaign spending by corporations more than campaign spending by you and me.
Okay, another hard case. Religious freedom.
Yeah.
Do corporations have the same kind of right to religious freedom that people have?
No, not at all. But they do have some. So here I am. I'm making everybody mad here. Of course, they don't have the same religious rights as you and me. I mean, the constitutional rights of religion, religious free exercise, establishment, is to in part to protect our conscience and to grow and to be exercised. On the other hand, so corporations don't have an individual conscience in that respect. Having said that, it is possible for some corporations to have religious freedom rights. Boston College, my employer, a religiously affiliated institution, is organized as a corporation, as a nonprofit corporation, but it's certainly nothing about the corporate form would disable it from being able to assert a religious claim. The Catholic Church was originally organized as a corporation centuries ago. Now, the hard part is, how about for-profit corporations? And I think this is some place where I've actually said that most of the time corporations should not have religious freedom rights, because the court has said in the two cases in which they said that they do, in a case called Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, I mean, because we have a specific case we can talk about, which
is
the Hobby Lobby case, which said that certain kinds of corporations do have religious rights to protect their religious beliefs.
Yeah, so in that case and also in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case from last year, the bakery case, in both cases, the court held that the business has a religious freedom right to be free of regulation. In the first case, it had to be giving employees contraceptives or health insurance that provided contraceptive services. And the other case, to be free of anti-discrimination law. Now, I helped write a brief in both cases. And in both cases, I argued that the corporation should not have religious freedom rights in those cases. And the reason is because of corporate personhood. So this is it's sort of an ironic term.
I mean, it's a corporate personhood. Because corporations are their own separate entities.
It's exactly right, Evan. Because they're their own entity, they should not be seen as having the religious freedom rights of the shareholders. And in both cases, the shareholders wanted to be separate from the entity for financial reasons, but be seen as the same as the corporation when it came to the religion. And I argued in the bakery case, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Well, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but my recollection of the Hobby Lobby case is that it was very important to the finding in the case that it was a closely held corporation. That is, the owners, the shareholders, the owners of that corporation were a small number of people who have sincere religious beliefs. And the fact that it was owned by a small number of people with sincere religious beliefs essentially made that the corporation itself had sincere religious beliefs.
That's exactly what the court held, and I thought that was wrong. Okay. And the reason is really twofold. One is that the very nature of the corporate entity is a separation from the shareholders and the company. And secondly, if the court thought that a closely held or family-owned company would be able to assert religious rights, then that includes a lot of corporations, not just the arts and crafts retailer Hobby Lobby. You know, Walmart is a family-owned company, as the majority owns. It's publicly traded, but the majority of those shares are owned by Ford Motor Company, is a family-owned. All the Koch brother industries are family-owned.
So that category just it balloons too much. So in the book, you talk not just about. Well, so one solution would be, well, it would be nice if the Supreme Court issued opinions that aligned with your beliefs. Well, I mean, you would think it would be nice, right?
Right.
I'm not saying
right.
it.
Right.
But you also talk about broader solutions to the way we think about the structure of corporations, that it's important not just to get the law right, but to get the organization of corporations right. What's your sense for how what's wrong with the way we organize corporations, and how differently should they be
organized?
Yeah,
so here's a where some of my book is like a plea to the left, to the ideological left, where I situate myself ideologically and politically. And I think instead of focusing so much on the constitutional debate, which I think is really hard to define these doctrinal lines, and it's not likely that the court will get it right, we should instead be focusing our progressive attention and activity on getting corporate governance right. So I was talking about before about this cycle, right? You use the corporate governance laws, prioritize the interests of shareholders and financial elites, and then they use that power to pursue and further and bolster their power in the political space. Now, you could break that cycle not by looking at the political space, but at the corporate governance space. Corporations could be governed with attentiveness to the interests of all stakeholders, like it is more in Europe. The major corporations in Germany, for example, are headed
up by—
have workers on the board, right? Yeah. So, you know, BMW, Mercedes, Siemens, these are companies that succeed and succeed in part because they take into account the interest of employees and other stakeholders.
It's not clear people in Massachusetts agree, given that the support for ballot question 2 this year passed overwhelming. That was the bill. That was the initiative to set up a citizens' commission to look at potential constitutional amendments. But it's interesting to think that, from your perspective, there's another left alternative people should be considering.
Absolutely.
I wish we had time to go into it more, but that's Kent Greenfield, Boston Thank College you. Law professor and expert in corporate and constitutional law. Thanks for being with us today,
Thanks,
Kent.
Thanks, Evan. Great to be here.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, and Zoe Mitchell, with help from Eve Zukoff and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hatti. I'm Evan Horowitz. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.